All right, welcome back to The Real Big Show. My name is Michael Petrelli. After a long break, we are back. Tonight, I'm joined by the editor-in-chief of Real News Daily, Melissa Hansen. What's up, Melissa?
Hi.
And thanks. The man, the myth, the legend, Jeremy Harmon. What's up, Jer?
You know, this and that.
Yeah. So we figured since this week is the NFL draft and pretty much everything else, if you're not watching Age of Ultron, watching the fight, you're pretty much probably watching the draft or were watching the draft. So we thought we would make our own little draft ourselves. We're going to do something a little bit crazy tonight. So we're going to come up with a concept. Each of us is going to come up with a concept of a movie. And then we are going to draft NFL style six actors and actresses to be in our film. So, yeah. Jeremy, you're going to be the first one up in our little draft. So what we'll do is we're going to do a snake draft. Jeremy's going to go first. I'm going to go second. Melissa's going to go third. If you're not familiar with a snake, the first pick will go to Jeremy. Then me and Melissa will get two picks. And then we'll kind of go in reverse order and vice versa until we wind up with six actors ourselves. So let's start off with Jeremy's concept.
All right, you want me to feed you my awesome concept?
Yeah, what's your movie?
It's going to be awesome. All right. I'm going to even give it a title. What do you think about that?
Wow. All right, let's do it.
Yeah. I'm going to call it The Dear Johns.
The Dear Johns.
Four friends all get dumped by their wives on the same day to be their Dear John letters.
Oh, wow.
Four friends, guys who can't seem to win to save their lives.
Oh, I like it.
So that's the concept, right?
All right.
So you can think about whatever story arc happens after that. But, you know, guys who can't seem to win, maybe end up pulling it out in the end. So there's my concept. So now do you want me to draft my first actor?
Yeah, so give me your first actor.
First actor, William H. Macy.
Great pick. Now, why would you pick William H. Macy as your first pick?
Because he is a guy who never, ever wins in any movie that he's in, ever.
So he is the perfect actor for your film, is what you're saying.
Perfect actor for my film.
Wow, that's great. I like him, too. He's a great actor, and he's in the show, what the hell's he on?
Shameless,
that's it. I don't watch the show, but I've heard it's hilarious. I should probably try to get a chance to watch that. Add it to my list of about 30 shows that I watch right now. Why not?
Exactly. You need to spend some more time in front of the TV.
Yeah, for real. Oh, my God. All right, so I didn't come up with a name, but now I'm going to probably have to.
Because I'm so much better at this than you are.
Yeah, that was a pretty awesome idea to do that.
I know it is.
It may not be right now, but I'm going to come up with a name. So my idea for a film is an action-adventure drama, kind of World War II escape film. So I think those are kind of fun. And my first actor will be Matthew McConaughey. And the reason why I picked Matthew McConaughey is because I think right now he really works with these types of concepts. I think he's kind of molded himself from his How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days and Failure to Launch. He's now doing more serious. And I think I'm picturing his Russ from True Detective 2 as that a little over-the-edge guy who isn't the leader but has that kind of crazy look in his eyes. And I think he would work perfectly for my movie. So Matthew McConaughey is who I'm drafting. Mel?
Gosh, I don't have a name either, but I guess I'm going to have to come up with one. Jeremy really raised the bar there.
He did.
Bring my game at all times, people. Come on.
You do. So my concept is sort of a twist on like the 1940s. So it's going to be like a 1940s thing, but it's sort of like a big band. Sort of a Glenn Miller sort of an aspect.
Ooh, cool.
But a comedy. So I don't really, I don't have like a necessarily a fully fleshed out storyline, But yeah, mine's kind of like a 1940s, you know, big band era comedy.
And you get two picks here, so you're the lucky one.
Mm-hmm. So my first one is going to be Julianne Moore. Just because Julianne Moore's amazing.
She good.
And she can do anything. So she's going to be kind of the center of this. So she's going to kind of, you know, carry it, if you will. And the, I'm going to do another pick. Let's see, here's my other pick. Let me do, you know, I'm going to do the, her what amazing new co-star, Alexander Skarsgård.
Ooh. And what, I guess he would be like the big band leader kind of thing, or is he like the bad boy?
Yeah, he's definitely, well, he's actually, he's got a kind of mob connection.
Ah, okay. I got
you. So he's, he's one of those kind of guys. He's one of the muscle.
Cool. I came up with a name for my movie. And so I'm calling it The Master Plan.
Ooh.
So my film will be about World War II kind of concentration camp, getting out, maybe not concentration camp. I'm thinking more like Japanese, like concentration camp right before Hiroshima. Maybe like the bomb's about to drop. These guys got to get out of there kind of thing. So I think that that's going to be my claim to fame. Yeah. So I have to come up with a new actor. And I think who I'm going to go with is going to be... This is hard. Shit. I didn't
Is it a big budget movie? You could always go with Robert Downey Jr. since he doesn't like the small budget stuff.
Robert might make his way into here, but I'm going to pick Oscar Isaac.
Nice. Oh, that's a good one.
Great one.
I look at him as, again, not the leader. I'm still kind of feeling out the leader of this movie, but he's the muscle. He's the kind of, tactician. Like maybe he was like a bomb tech in the war or something. I think he's got that kind of, that stoic, you know, look. So I'm going to go with Oscar Isaac to go with Matthew McConaughey in The Master Plan.
Interesting.
All right, Dear Johns.
I double dose here, huh?
You get two now.
I already know who I got. This is in the bag. I'm taking Paul Giamatti as the next pick and John C. Reilly.
Ooh. That's fantastic.
Take that, and I'll take those two for the same reason I took the first one with William H. Macy. They get shit on in every single movie that they're in.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that has any kind
except
of...
Except for Shoot 'Em Up. Well, actually, he was sort of shit on that, too.
Yeah, he was shit on that, of course.
Damn it. Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
But he kicked ass, but he was a bad bad guy. He ended up getting fucked, you know?
Yeah.
Those are my...
Break.
Yeah.
You know, right now, Jeremy, I'm picturing this movie. I'm actually seeing this film, and I'm kind of chuckling to myself because... You know, so far, I'm looking at all three of these actors. I'm trying to picture their wives. I may have to come back to you. So you may want to think about who may be their wives in this film.
Oh, I got it, dude.
Just in my head, I kind of want to know. So
I've got it.
We'll talk about that a little bit later.
Don't you worry, dude. I got it.
All right. So I'm going to go with my third actor here. And I'm going to kind of go a different direction because... I thought about this when I was coming up with this idea. I think that there needs to be that that young actor, that guy, that young. I know it's cliche and it's a la Fury to have that like that young guy who may have just been part of the war for a little bit of time and he gets kind of captured. But I keep looking at different actors right now who are out there. No, he's great. He was great in Fury, but I would definitely, I'm thinking somebody a little bit different. So I was going to think, I'm going to go with Dylan O'Brien, who is the actor who was in The Maze Runner, and he's one of the finalists for Spider-Man. But Dylan O'Brien seems to be one of those kind of upcoming actors that may have that opportunity to shine, and I think he might be one of those ones that would work perfectly in my film. as the young, you know, 20-something guy who gets shot down and he's imprisoned with all the rest of these lunatics. So I'm going to go with Dylan O'Brien. Mel, you get two.
Okay, so my two. I get two again?
Yes, you do.
That's awesome.
I know.
Okay, so my two.
Ryan Reynolds.
I'm ignoring you. Adrian Brody, because he has a fantastically, he has a certain look that would be perfect for like that era.
Perfect.
I can just see him with like, you know, in like a tuxedo with a cigarette in his hand, you know. And another one also who has that same sort of look, John Hamm.
Oh yeah. I think he's going to be cast as that type of character possibly for the rest of his life. Because he is perfect for that.
He really is, yeah.
Yeah, he's fantastic. I've never seen Mad Men, and I'm sure I'm one of the last people on Earth that never has seen it. But it's okay. I'll check it out one of these days.
It's good.
Is it? Okay. I got to take my muscle. So I have the Oscar Isaac crazy kind of like, you know, stoic muscle. But I need that like... maybe it's just a little bit muscle, not Schwarzenegger muscle, but I'm going to steal, Idris Elba into my film.
I think that's an interesting touch.
I think he would be perfect as that English, gentleman with a bad side kind of look. And I think partnering him maybe with Oscar Isaac, maybe the two of them kind of work together. I think that he would be really good in my film. So I'm going to go with Idris Elba. Jeremy, you got to give me two more Johns.
No, I got to give you one more John.
That would be six. Oh, well.
Yeah, but I could throw some, I'll put some other folks in there.
Supporting characters.
One more John. You said four. That's right. Go.
Slow your roll, dude. I'm trying to jump my movie concept, dude.
Well.
Yes. It is good.
Give me the four.
Number four, Michael Pena. This is my fourth Dear John.
Okay, I got to hear this one. Why?
Michael Pena. Well, you know, I don't want it to be a cracker-ass white cast, right? Michael Pena doesn't get any love in the movies he's in, right? He gets cast as some sheik, even though he's Mexican, right? And Crash, he gets shit on. I mean, even in, what was it, 30 Minutes or Less, that movie with Danny McBride and Jesse Eisenberg and Aziz Ansari, gets kind of shit on in that one, too. I'm going with Michael Pena.
All right.
Gives us a little flavor to the cast, right? He's a good actor, too. He's funny when he can be, that sort of thing.
I like him.
Yeah. So the next one is one of the wives, but she's a must-have, Judy Greer. Boom.
Oh.
Drops the mic.
Now, who's she married to, though?
Well, let's see here. We have Macy. She's too young for Macy. We have Giamatti. Interesting. We have John C. Reilly. I see her with John C. Reilly. I see her with John C. Reilly.
Yeah.
I like that. It actually works pretty well for me. And she's great. So, yeah. I mean, you can't go wrong with her.
Get her a lead, you know what I'm saying? She'd flourish. People need to stop tripping on Judy Greer. She's so amazingly good.
She really is. All right, so I gotta have the leader. I need to come up with the guy who's in charge in my film here. And I've got two guys on the brain, but I can only pick one of them. So I'm going to have to take this... Well, you always go with your first thought, right? So I guess I'm going to have to take Michael Fassbender.
Yeah, I knew that was coming.
I think he's one of those actors that I think right now, you know, I think after Magneto in X-Men, I think for me, not more X-Men First Class, but more X-Men Days of Future Past, I think he's really ready for that, you know, breakout. I'm not looking for the word breakout. I'm looking for the word. I think he's just ready for that prime time spot. So I'm going to go with Fassbender for the lead role. I was thinking somebody else, and I'll mention him later, but because, well, he probably won't get picked anyway. Andrew Lincoln. But I think Fassbender works, and he's got more of a name than Andrew right now, so I'll go with Fassbender. Mel, you got the last. Well, you know what? You got to finish off your cast.
Yeah. So what am I on? Am I on number five?
You're on five. You're on five and six.
So five and six.
Five and six.
These are both. Are these both actors or actresses?
You can have either.
Oh, so we're so. I thought we were first doing actors. No. Okay.
We're doing, well, you had Julianne Moore.
So what in the heck am I thinking?
It's a good question, dude. What are you thinking? We don't know either.
I don't know. So my next pick is going to be Patton Oswalt. Because this is a comedy.
You got to have him.
They need a club owner, and he's the club owner.
Interesting.
I like him. He's funny. He's hilarious.
He's very funny.
Mm-hmm. I think he can, I think, you know, he's not going to be a big player, but I think he can definitely contribute to something and really help me write the damn thing, too. That will work.
Well, nice. As long as he doesn't do a filibuster or whatever he did on the...
Oh, my poster. God, wasn't that fantastic?
It's pretty epic.
Seriously so amazing.
It's pretty epic.
And then my next one is going to be Zoe Saldana.
Ooh. Now, how does she make her way into this film?
She's the singer in the club.
Oh, that's a good pick for her.
Josephine Baker action.
That possibly. Kind of thing. Yeah. But I always just love her. She has like, she almost, it's almost a resting bitch face, but not.
She's awfully pretty.
She is very pretty.
Well, yeah.
And she's Gamora, so that actually adds to everything.
Always comes back to superhero movie with you, doesn't it?
It has to.
I tell you what.
Well, I'm going to drop, I have to drop the mic here for my film, and I'm going to pick my final member of the master plan will be Tom Hiddleston. So I think I've gotten myself with a cast that... young, ethnic, English, awesome. So I pretty much am happy with my cast here. McConaughey, Oscar Isaac, Dylan O'Brien, Idris Elba, Michael Fassbender, and Tom Hiddleston.
Where's Van Damme, dude?
Fuck. Damn it. I got to add Van Damme in or something.
You fucked up.
These six aren't getting out without Van Damme.
Of course they're not. The muscles from Brussels, man. Are you kidding me? The muscles from Brussels.
All right, who's rounding out the Dear John list?
All right, the Dear John list. And I'll get to the ladies afterwards if you really want to know. But the boys have to have a mentor, right?
Yep.
A surly old man that can set him on the straight and narrow. It's got to be Bill Murray, dude. It's got to be Bill Murray.
That is perfect.
I want to see this movie so bad.
Just saying.
You're going to be mad. You're going to laugh, but actually, I was contemplating picking him as like the old timer who's been like in prison for since the beginning of the war kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I was like, I don't know if he would work with this cast. So
is that two Monuments Men for you?
It is a little bit two Monuments Men for me. But nice. I like it. I like it.
Yeah.
So we have William H. Macy's, Paul Giamatti, John C. Reilly, and Michael Pena as the Dear Johns, Judy Greer as one of the wives, and then Bill Murray as the mentor to the Johns.
Right. One of their fathers. But, you know, the guys all hang out. He's like the voice of reason, you know. They need somebody to teach them the ways, you know. Guys have been out of the game for a while. Need to get back in the game, and who better than Bill Murray? Channeling Tripper from Meatballs, but at an older age, you know?
Oh, my God.
It just doesn't matter, you know? You can take a new riff.
That's perfect.
Take a riff off of that, you know what I mean?
All right, I want to know who the other wives are.
Well, we got to have one of the evil wives, right? One of, the person who kind of maybe planted the seed in all the other wives' ears. Who gets her comeuppance in a bad way? Julia Roberts, the bitch is going down.
Oh, my gosh.
That bitch is going down. that this is going down. The next one, love this. You're going to dig this one, Molly Ringwald, bringing her back.
Wow.
Oh.
Bringing Molly Ringwald back into the Hollywood fold.
So she's got to be John C. Reilly's wife.
I already said Judy Greer was.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So she's got to be Michael Pena's wife.
No. Dude, hey, easy. Let's
come on. He's got to get a little bit like Milfy going on. That would be funny.
Well, if he wants to do Milfy, that's fine, but I'm not going that route. I'm going, that's William H. Macy's bird.
Okay.
Julia Roberts and Paul Giamatti, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know it doesn't seem like that could happen, right? It doesn't seem like that could happen, but she is a horse-faced bitch, so anything could happen as far as I'm concerned with that. Paul Giamatti, he gets Julia Roberts. It's on.
All right, well, you got to bring back Maria Conchita Alonso then for Michael Pena.
No, she's way too old. Minnie Driver.
Oh,
she's going to be work.
I'm taking Minnie Driver for that one.
That would work.
So that rounds out my cast. Pretty solid. Probably make millions of dollars off of it.
That would be a winner. I think that would be a summertime blockbuster.
Yeah, I'm copywriting that shit right now. Anybody who listens to this, don't steal my shit.
Have you seen The Letter to Three Wives?
I have not seen The Letter to Three Wives.
Okay.
Is that what you think I should watch?
It's not like that. It's similar. So three women are out, and they get word that one of their husbands has left them while they're on this like vacation, and so like all three of them go through like their life with their husband and try to figure out if it's if it's them or not.
Interesting.
It reminded me of that, but of course it's not near your concept, but it reminded me of that.
No, my concept is way better. Even though I'm looking it up on IMDb, I see that it's got Kirk Douglas and his brother in there, Paul Douglas. Yeah, the ladies, Jean Crane I recognize, but Linda Darnell and Ann Southern, don't know them.
It's a classic.
It is. I can see that. Old Fox movie.
So I was thinking about my villain or my, you know, concentration camp leader or whatever, warden. And I'm on the fence. If I had it in Berlin or Germany, it would absolutely have to be Ralph Fiennes. But if it was like, if I was doing Japanese, I'm thinking like Ken Watabe.
Why wouldn't you take Christoph Waltz?
Because he's already been used in Glorious Bastards. I don't think he can top that.
But not as a concentration camp guy.
No, but he wouldn't be the he was the SS guy from.
Well, I know who he was, dude.
So I mean, to me, he would be playing the same villain. Ish.
Yeah, I could see what you're saying.
Ralph Fiennes was in Auschwitz.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he was.
He fucking killed that, though, you gotta say.
Wow, that's an interesting choice of words.
Oh, that was awful. Oh, my God.
Well done, Melissa. Hey, at least it wasn't me that made the insensitive comment. The horse-faced Julia Roberts, but that's nuts. Everybody calls her that.
How about Tom Hardy, then?
Tom Hardy? Didn't he just wasn't he just in Child 44 doing something like that?
He wasn't the villain, though, was he?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either. I think after it made like a dollar its first weekend, I was like, ooh.
Yeah, it did very, very poorly. That's a shame, too. It
came out already?
Yeah.
It came and went.
Wow.
It made,
I didn't even see that.
Wow. Yeah, it made like $500,000. And it wasn't even open to the press to see it. So that's
gracious.
It was like an $85 million budget. Maybe even bigger budget than that.
It's a shame. It was one of my movies that I was really looking forward to this year. So one of these days I'll get a chance to see it, I guess.
Netflix on.
Yeah. All right. So I'm throwing it out there, and I'm pretty sure it wouldn't be that hard, but directors for your movie.
Well, it depends on what kind of take I want to go with this. Huh. Am I going first on this too?
Yep.
First one that comes to mind is Jason Reitman, although I'm not a big fan of his movies. I thought Juno was quite clever, but I think that had more to do with the writing than the directing. I don't think his efforts – Thank You for Smoking was really good, but his efforts after Juno have been lackluster. Hell, why not Woody Allen?
Woody Allen?
Woody Allen.
That okay. That gives it an air of sophistication.
Of course it does. Everything I think is sophisticated. Oh, Woody and I are two birds of a feather cut from the same cloth, if you will.
So you...
Who directed Fletch?
Ooh, that's a good idea. Fletch is a great movie. Who directed Fletch?
This is something I can't believe I can't rip right off the top of my head.
I know.
It was Michael Ritchie, guy who did Downhill Racer. What an interesting mix of films this young man did.
Hmm.
He also did Cops and Robbersons. He also did Wildcats and the Golden Child, too.
That is a great list of movies.
And the Bad News Bears original one. Yeah, he's in. I'm in. Michael Ritchie. Oh, he's dead.
He would have a tough time doing it then.
Damn it. Yeah, I got to think about that one. I'll come back to me.
All right. How about John Landis? Is he dead?
You know, Landis might have been able to pull it off, you know, 15 years ago, but I don't know if he's the guy to do it now. See, I need to watch more comedy stuff. You know, the depressing Scandinavian movies don't lend me to an... You know, picking someone for something like this.
Yeah,
I want it to be quirky and funny, but I want it to have some dramatic shit to it. You know, David Gordon Green, I'd be up for that. Maybe he can actually do something good that's got some humor, rather than some bullshit like those Your Highness and the Pineapple Express and all that stupid shit.
You don't want to go with Richard Linklater?
Linklater might be a good one.
So I really was thinking about my director, and you know, of course, the first thing that comes to mind when you look at a cast of this, you think yourself, you want to just Tarantino the shit out of this movie. But you know, he's already done German, he already done World War II. He's not going to do another film like that. He moves on, so he's kind of out. Jesus, Mary, Joseph. I mean, my two, would Paul Thomas Anderson do a film like this? I don't know. I probably not. I mean, so I would probably left with Nolan.
Yeah, you got to think good action directors, because this is clearly an action picture. You don't want to put P.T. Anderson, that's not his scene. He's a character-based guy.
No, and that's, I want the film to be very, very character-based, but I don't know if he would have the idea of how an action film would work past the development of the characters. So I think I'm gonna go. I'll go to Nolan only because he's kind of default, I guess you would. I'm not going Ridley Scott. He sucks at this point in his career. I think
he sucked since fucking Blade Runner, dude.
Yeah, I mean, and all the rest of the quote unquote act. You know, actors, directors would probably, I think Nolan would probably wrap his head around this and that would be his film. I think he would have a good time with it. Plus, he likes working with McConaughey, so I think that would probably be a good idea.
All right, can I come back? I do have a director for mine. Locked in sight, no questions asked. Martin McDonagh, the guy who did Seven Psychopaths and In Bruges. That's my guy.
Oh, represent, that's a really good pick.
Represent my Irish brother.
That's a great pick as well. You know what? I've never finished Seven Psychopaths.
It's good, dude. You should watch it.
I will. You liked it? I'll probably like it. Well, actually, that's not true. But
yeah, you'll probably hate it.
All right. I think Mel's going to knock us out of the park with this director.
I don't know. I'm having a hard time thinking of this.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I'm struggling to think like. Who could capture an era like that?
I mean, I can think of one off the top of my head, but he's already did The Great Gatsby, so.
Then he did it shitty. Oh. No, you don't want him. He'd just fuck it up. He would fuck it up.
I don't know if he'd fuck it up. I mean.
No, he'd fuck it up.
He does have a knack for that kind of.
For fucking things up. You're right. there's gotta be a lady director out there that could handle this, no?
I know, and you know, like at first, I was thinking like Jill Holloway, just because she's done a lot of quirky stuff. But I don't know if she could handle something like that with the if the era appealed to her.
The period piece.
Yeah, it might be a little too like on the dramatic.
Lynn Ramsey, dude, do you know her stuff?
Lynn Ramsey, no, I don't.
She did. We Need to Talk About Kevin. and Ratcatcher and Morvern Keller, and she was supposed to do The Lovely Bones, but had creative differences. If you haven't seen her stuff, you are missing out.
Okay. I mean,
the problem is it's got a lot of creep factor to it. Her shit is creepy. But Morvern Keller is one of my favorite movies that I've seen in the last 20 years. It's amazingly good. Scottish, can't understand a word half the people are saying because they're broke, but damn. Visually, incredibly stunning. It's got Samantha Morton is in it. She's really fantastic. Yeah, and we need to talk about Kevin. Have you not seen this movie?
Oh, my God, yeah. I had the hardest time shaking that off.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
Yeah, that really got me. And I saw it by myself, too. It was the worst thing ever. Like, you don't want to see that movie by yourself.
I watched it by myself. It was, yeah. Yeah, it left an indelible mark. We'll put it that way.
Yeah, yeah.
You know who might work for your film? Simon Curtis. He did My Week with Marilyn, and he just did the Woman in Gold that just came out with Helen Mirren.
Ryan Reynolds.
Oh my God! Fucking bastard. Yeah, that's a good one.
No, but he's really good. I mean, when I think of a piece like that, or what's the guy who did the? I know Jeremy hated the fucking movie. So The King's Speech.
Tom Hooper. Jesus, shit! That guy's a fucking shit merchant. Awful. How about the Coen brothers?
Oh Jesus Christ! That's perfect.
Coen Brothers.
That works.
Just saying, dude. Coen Brothers could knock that one out of the park.
That's. I did not pick it, but you know, I never said I was good at casting or anything. So.
Well, I think
but
that's.
I recognize a good choice when I hear one.
Damn right.
Yeah, I thought you were going to go Clint Eastwood on me. You know, American Sniper for Jeremy.
Yeah, he really has a great command of material.
If you had
you, man.
What?
What about you? What about your movie?
I was going to say Christopher Nolan.
Oh, shoot. You did say that.
Yeah.
Mel, you're tripping, dude.
I am.
I was so focused
on mine that I...
As it should be. Are you sure you don't want to do Joss Whedon?
No.
Charlie? He could do that. He tackles these big budget movies. Maybe you get RDJ, Robert Downey Jr. is the first AD.
He's.
I just thought of another one. Sorry.
What do you got?
Ryan Johnson
could be good.
Oh, yeah.
He could be good.
I wanted to have one that I picked.
Ryan Johnson. Mr. Looper and soon-to-be Star Wars.
Yeah.
Oh, Brick. Really?
Yeah, he's doing the next two Star Wars movies. Brick.
Yeah, no, that was a great movie.
Well, and he can take period and obviously weave it into, you know, contemporary fabric. That's harder to do than doing period. I mean, I still think that Brick is one of the more amazing films that I've seen in the aughts for sure. It's probably in my top 10 for the aughts. I mean, I watch that one with fair regularity. It is amazingly good. I love the script. I love the story behind the script, how he came about it. I love that he financed the movie $250,000. Obviously, he can work big budget with Looper and with Star Wars stuff. I like what he brings to the table. It's a good pick.
Yeah, I think that works.
So, if you had your laurels, when would your film be released? What, fall, spring, summer?
That's a fall movie for sure. You know, the older people want to go see something with people that are their age, so it doesn't necessarily appeal to a younger audience. So, it's not a summer movie. Don't want it to get lost in the doldrums of the. You know, post New Year's Eve to right now, because every movie that's come out since New Year's Eve has been a Titanic piece of shit for the most part. So yeah, mine's a fall movie for sure. October-ish.
Yeah, I mean mine's in April, so I'll go springtime since it'll be the. I don't think it would work as a big. Blockbuster summer July 4th weekend movie. I think it would be nicely put right in the middle of a spring April, you know, April, first weekend of April kind of release.
Even picture yours a Thanksgiving type release, right? It's got a bit of appeal.
That's true.
I was thinking of it as more of like the end of summer sort of a thing. But yeah, that would also be really good because it's kind of an ensemble thing. Yeah, that would be the perfect thing to take out for that. Yeah.
So you're going fall, like November-ish, Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
All right. You have a movie name yet, or have you kind of blanked on that? It's okay if you don't. I just wonder if you did.
No, I do not.
Familiar to Millions. That would be great. I'm looking at names on my CDs that are sitting over here. So, two things before we go, because I wanted to kind of get both of your opinions on this. So Josh Trank came out that he's no longer going to be taking on that original Star Wars piece, which I think is supposed to be the second spinoff or the second standalone film. He was the director of Chronicle and just finished Fantastic Four. Word is, well, he came out and said that he was resigning, but there's word coming out that maybe not so fast. Maybe it was Simon Kinberg from Fox telling Lucasfilms to, hey guys, he's a pretty fucked up person and he's really screwed up our film and you might want to think about maybe not hiring him for the standalone. So two kind of questions on this for you guys. Do you think it's right that Fox would do that? And do you think that Josh Trank maybe has built a bed that he's not going to be able to get out of moving forward?
I'll start with this. I thought Chronicle sucked. I thought it had tremendous potential and it just ended up being a shit show. So I wasn't high on him to begin with. I think Fox can do whatever the fuck they want to with regards to the Star Wars trilogy. You're talking about billions of dollars, conceivably. If he fucks it up like he conceivably has done with the Fantastic Four, then by all means. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm hesitant to see any of these spinoff Star Wars movies because, now it's just the replication. I feel like it's a cancer that's just going to start spreading and they'll just start popping up all over the place. But I don't think too highly of his work. I have no interest in seeing the Fantastic Four. Fuck him.
I think it's kind of a dangerous ground right now because the studios just see dollar signs in anything related to Star Wars or superhero. I mean, there are a limited edition UGG for Star Wars out now.
Of course there is. Disney has it now.
It's just, I can't.
Dude, it went from one marketing, commodification master to the best one, from Lucas to fucking Disney.
Right? Yeah, I mean, it's just, there's a line and nobody knows where it is. And they're just going to keep going until it doesn't make money anymore.
Well, word's kind of come out this week that, or at least today, that the film was possibly a Boba Fett standalone film. So, which kind of makes sense of why they would have hired Trank, because he seems to kind of gravitate towards some of these original stories, I guess you would say. Maybe not taking on something that's kind of already set in stone, but something that is unknown, like Boba Fett, which would maybe kind of be an all right idea. Only problem is, from what is coming out of the Fantastic Four camp, the guy apparently destroyed a $100,000 house. He was apparently very uncooperative on set with actors and the producers, and he kind of lost his fucking mind from what they were saying. So I'm not sure that I would want him in charge of any film that I was going to create. I think from my standpoint of when I was thinking about it, yeah, does Simon Kinberg have a right to tell other filmmakers about this guy? Yes, he does. I think he has a responsibility to do it. For me, I don't know. I understand why he did it. I'm not necessarily sure what the motivation other than fuck you to the director, because it doesn't make sense why someone from Fox would want to help somebody from Disney. So, I guess
it's all about favors. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's one of those like, hey, listen, well, Kathleen.
Guess where Ken Burke's probably going to end up after? I mean, he's working on all these Marvel movies anyway.
Yeah.
Right. So he's Disney property to begin with, since they own all the Marvel universe now. I mean, he's producing Fantastic Four, which is a Fox property, but he's also producing Deadpool, X-Men Apocalypse, and Gambit. All those are Disney properties.
Well, they're not Disney property. I think Disney only owns the rights to the cinematic universe. I don't think they own the rights to the comics. So I think they're still just Marvel comics. I think this the real thing that we have to watch is if Fantastic Four bombs, and I think that that's pretty much an assumption that will be solidified when it comes out, because I don't really think that many fanboys even want to see it, and I highly doubt past fanboys you're going to get people to go to see the film, because it's A, too dark for kids, which from the trailers has already been well known, and B, I don't think with Avengers, you're going to get the stragglers. You're going to get the people from every age group that's going to want to see it just because it's a spectacle event. I don't think Fantastic Four is a spectacle event. I think the film's going to bomb. And now word coming out, Fox isn't going to go out and tell people it sucks, don't go see our movie. That's not what they're out to make as much money back as they possibly can. But when you get press out there that says that president of Fox saw the film and literally turned his head and was like, this is the worst fucking film I've ever seen, that's not boding well for your film. So I guess we're going to learn a lesson with this, that you don't hire directors that maybe aren't ready from Chronicle, which was a low budget film, to making a $100 million film. I don't think that works for just my two cents.
Nope. I would say so.
And just a second, last thing. I cannot believe this, because I just noticed this a few days ago. But how in the goddamn hell does Fast and the Furious 7 make $1.429 billion worldwide and is the third film to cross the $1 billion mark overseas? It can't just be Paul Walker's death, can it?
So there's a lot of suckers, dude.
People love the movie.
I haven't seen any of them. By the way, I was thinking about doing my take on watching all seven of these movies for Real News Daily. So Mel, if you want me to do that, I'd be happy to go film by film and give my synopsis.
I would love as it's happening sort of a thing, like Mystery Science Theater for it.
Well, I would actually love to do that. If I had the wherewithal to do so, I would. But haven't seen the trailer of it. These are movies that to me are the lowest common denominator movies, that they are so dumb that they appeal to, well, anything that has an IQ of about a rock or so. And I'm not saying that everybody in the viewing public that goes to see this is stupid. You know, everybody likes to get their kicks cinematically, so to speak, how they want to, which is fine. I slip from time to time and watch bullshit movies, but it has guns, explosions, cars dropping out of airplanes, Dubai, hot women. Yeah, I mean, it's really got everything that a 14-year-old boy would like. So that means that these days, most 28-year-old boys would like it, since they're basically 14-year-old boys that work at a college. So I understand this. I see it every day. And they're the ones with all the money. And there's a lot of boys worldwide. So, and girls want to see the buff Ben Diesel and Tyrese Gibson. And I don't even know who else is in the movie. I got Paul Walker, of course, those dreamy blue eyes of his. So to me, it makes sense.
But it's going to double the last film. So, this is the seventh movie in a franchise, and it's doubling the sixth film, basically. Is it all from, I guess, everything you said, it makes sense. But, I mean, does Paul Walker's death really make double the film? I mean, from that standpoint.
Think about all the publicity surrounding it, man.
Yeah.
Think about
it's all publicity. Yeah.
All of it. Vin Diesel consistently bringing it up everywhere he goes.
I know, but it just doesn't seem like the kind of film. I guess, but then again, I was pretty surprised at Skyfall. Even though Skyfall was fantastic, I was surprised that it was the first Bond film to really have that crazy success worldwide.
I thought it was weak. I think all the new ones have been pretty weak, with the exception of the first one.
But I just can't see Furious 7 in the same vein as, or in the same conversation as Avengers, Titanic, Avatar, Harry Potter. I mean, it just doesn't sound right.
It's probably on par with the Jim Cameron stuff. I mean, I think Avatar is a shit heap. I mean, it was pretty interesting to look at. Titanic is a fucking turd for the size of the Titanic, as far as I'm concerned. So yeah, I mean, once again, all those movies that you mentioned appeal to as wide of a group as you can possibly imagine, right? Yeah. I mean, Titanic at least gets every woman in the world, right? And then, of course, their boyfriends get sucked into going to see it, because God knows that happened to me when I was in college when it came out.
I saw that movie on a first date. It is not a first date movie.
No, it's 11 hours long.
Oh, my God. You know, yeah, and I'm sitting there bawling, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm bawling in front of this dude.
Yeah.
Oh, it was ridiculous. How'd that work out, though? Oh, it did not.
Well, probably for the best, then.
Yes.
So
if he can't handle you at your weepy worst on a first date, then he's not one that's going to stick around anyway, F him.
Exactly.
Well, at least Avengers made $630 million its first weekend, so maybe we'll stop talking about Furious 7 after Ultron makes $2 billion, or whatever the hell it's going to wind up making. And then, of course, we'll have Jurassic World, which will probably make $1 billion, and then that's probably the last one until Star Wars comes out and pretty much makes everything. Because I'm pretty sure that nothing else is going to open on Christmas Day now. Or is that the 18th now? I think it's December 18th.
I fail to understand that release date. I'm not going to lie. Why of all times do you put it out at Christmas time?
The only thing that I could think of is the competition in the summer of this summer and next summer is pretty substantial. Do you want to cannibalize yourself with, and of course, everyone that sees one is going to see all three. Batman, yeah. Captain America, and then you're going to
have. You know what, dude? It's Star Wars. I mean, you can release
that any time and it's going to do well.
You might as well have it on there. Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't buy it. It's a summer movie. I can't believe they're not releasing it this summer. There's no competition for it.
Well, even Lord of the Rings. Right
now, if it went head to head with Ultron, it would destroy it. Because there.
Well, maybe that's the deal. Maybe the studios have a deal between each other where they're like, "All right, here you go.
It's Disney.
We got the summer. You guys can have the. You guys, you know, you take the."
Disney is situating it.
It's all a conspiracy. All their other movies.
Well, it is. 6 months of Ultron, right? Star Wars. Yeah. 6 months until the next Captain America and the rest
there
of
you go.
Marvel Phase 2 movies that come out next year. When is Ant-Man being released? Is that this year?
Yeah, it's this July.
Good God. There's just too many of them. Give me a Doctor Strange movie and a Moon Knight movie. Call it a fucking day. They need to be done. Maybe an Iron Fist movie, but the rest of them need to be done.
Well, you know what? The Lord of the Rings worked really well in December. So, I mean, every one of them made well over $300 million. And sort of The Hobbit, for that matter. I mean, most of them made, I think the first one made 300 and the rest of them made, you know, 250.
When did Five Armies come out? Was that November or something like that?
That was December. They were all December, yeah.
I've yet to see any of them, so I don't know.
You know, they are what they are. I still think, you know, you know, Lord of the Rings is great. Hobbit is enjoyable. I don't see the hatred that some people have for the Hobbit, but for me, I mean, they were okay. They weren't anything great. But
yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. So next week, hopefully we'll all be back and healthy and happy and seeing more films next week. Mad Max Fury Road.
Yay. I'm pumped for that one. That's what I'm pumped for.
My most anticipated film of the year. And Pitch Perfect 2. Which one makes it to box office number one? Probably Pitch Perfect 2, but, you know. Genre geeks like me and Jeremy will go out and see Mad Max Fury Road opening day, hopefully.
That is true. I'm there, dude.
All right, guys. So we're out of here. For Melissa and Jeremy, I'm Michael. Thanks for listening. Check out realnewsdaily.com. Melissa and Liz had some awesome posts from Tribeca. Put you on the spot. Best movie you saw, Tribeca. And you do have a best of list on Real News Daily, by the way. But best movie you saw, Tribeca.
Sleeping with Other People.
This was the Jason Sudeikis.
Jason Sudeikis and Alison Brie. It was so fucking funny. Like, and I'm, you know, this was definitely like the year of the sex comedy at Tribeca. And like, this went over the top. Like, there are things in there that have not been in a movie since 1985, and they are back. So that's my 2 cents.
We will put it on the list. Put it on the list. And definitely check out realnewsdaily.com for all the updates on HBO and Netflix and all the news and reviews that we have going on right now. We're out. See you guys. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.